Now, Grand Budapest Hotel. It's Wes Anderson's new movie. It's in the cinemas at the moment. It's got a huge cast. Saoirse Ronan's in it. Sorry. So is Bill Murray, Jude Law, Ralph Fiennes, Tilda Swinton. The list of stars is endless, basically. I could go on. Anyway, like all of his movies, it's incredibly quirky and the attention to detail is second to none. Annie Atkins is a Dublin-based artist who was lead graphic designer in the movie, and she was responsible for imagining, I suppose, and imaging and everything else, and designing the props for Wes Anderson. Would I be right in saying all that? Is that what you've done? Every single thing, Annie, yeah?
Well, I particularly take care of graphic props.
Right.
So that's basically any kind of prop that has lettering on it. So that's telegrams, newspapers, cigarette packaging, posters.
Police reports,
that kind of thing.
Right, indeed. Okay, now, how did you get into graphic design to begin with?
Oh, well, I'd been a graphic designer for years, mostly in advertising, and also my dad is a graphic designer, so it was always kind of natural thing for me to have gotten into.
It's part of the family. I said Dublin earlier, as in Dublin based. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Wales, but my mum is from Galway and I live in Dublin.
Where in Galway?
Headford.
Headford in Galway, okay. And you're here in Dublin, you're based in Dublin. So what film would you love to have been involved with, say? What inspired you to get involved in graphic design for the movies, or did it just happen?
No, it didn't just happen at all. I was working in advertising for years and, you know, I just wasn't very good at it, I don't think. And I decided to get into filmmaking, but I thought that when I went to film school, I would, get into camera operating or something. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I certainly didn't think it would be graphics. You know, I didn't actually realise that graphic design for filmmaking was a career at that point.
Okay, because like when you think about somebody like Wes Anderson, you're talking very droll and dysfunctional characters in really kind of mad kooky costumes down through the years. I mean, have you seen your Bottle Rockets and your Rushmores and your Royal Tenenbaums and the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou and the Squid and the Whale and the Darjeeling and all those ones, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I love those films and I particularly love the aesthetic of them.
Yeah.
So like to be able to actually work on one of his films, making graphics for it, was a real dream come true.
The aesthetic of them. What about The Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yeah.
What an amazing movie that
is. Yeah, I love that. It's
absolutely. I mean, it's not necessarily one that I would totally recommend for kids, even though I think they'd like it, but it's just, it's fantastic. And like, he really is, I presume you'll tell me he's a great man for attention to detail. Does that mean he's a slave driver and a pain in the ass?
he's really, really very particular. And he's like really heavily involved like in every aspect of his filmmaking. So it's not just like the fun stuff like the actors or the graphic design. You know, I've seen him on set like heaving sandbags around and moving furniture around. Like, he's right there in the middle of it.
And how did you become to get involved in a Wes Anderson movie?
I had been doing a little bit of work with the designer who had designed Fantastic Mr. Fox, and one day I just got this really strange email from him that said, "Something wicked your way comes."
Oh yeah.
Which was confusing. And the next thing, my phone rang with a New York number, and it was Wes's producer asking if I would be available at all to go to Germany. So that was a huge shock.
And did you know what you were going for? Yeah, you did.
She said, it's a movie set in the Alps in the 1930s. That's all I knew at that point.
All right, okay. So what's the process then? What does one do? Or do you have to look and see what this movie is, see who the director is, see what's going to happen? And how do you go about it? I mean, like, when you say lettering, was that your kind of prime concern?
Yeah, so the first thing that happens when you start work is you're given the script and you go through the script and you make your own breakdown of everything that is a graphic. So some of them are scripted things, like Wes wrote a telegram into the script, so you'd highlight that and know that you have to write a telegram. But then you also have to kind of second guess some scenes. So if there's an office scene, you know you're going to be making like piles of paperwork and things for notice boards, that kind of thing as well.
And every piece of paper on screen you designed?
Yeah, with my team, yeah.
Well, you're in charge of the team?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I had three people working with me.
Oh, and what nationality are they?
They are Berliners, and then there was one guy in New York that we used a little as well.
Okay, because one of the things that people might see or might know from bus stops and etc. from recent weeks would be the poster thing of the pink wedding cake and the alpine backdrop and that. Very surreal. That's yours, is it?
Yeah, well, Certainly, I executed it for Wes, but you know, that poster really is very much a Wes Anderson poster, and we worked very, very closely on it together. So when he first described his idea to me, it's pretty much what you see now. You know, he wanted the pink hotel with the sign and that beautiful background, and yeah.
I mean, like, the movie has got rave reviews. One of the things that people would review about it or rave about it is the work that you've done. I mean, for instance, like, if you take the credits in the movie, like, there's a credit for the mural painter, for the handkerchief cross sticker, for the pendant maker, etc. So obviously this is a big one for you as well. But the point is, like, this is the kind of mad detail that this guy's into, isn't it? I mean, like, that last movie, we only spoke about it last week, Moonrise Kingdom. I mean, it's pretty, he's out there.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I can't actually imagine a better movie for me to have been able to work on.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Know? Yeah. Really. Like, so about as sumptuously visual as a movie can get, really, isn't it?
It's gorgeous.
So the challenge with that then for you, I mean, we're talking right down to stamps and banknotes and flags and all the rest. Were they kind of almost invented by Wes for this movie, stuff like that?
Yeah, well, he'd written this fictional country, Zubrovka, so it's not like another show where you could just, like, find old banknotes and photocopy them, basically. You know, we had to create everything from scratch, because nothing existed. So even though stuff was based on Eastern European references, you still have to make, like, every postage stamp that's seen on a letter, or even the stuff that isn't seen by the camera, you still have to make it to create this world for, like, the director and the actors to work in.
So would it be impossible then to do proper research for this kind of thing, even with Google? It does have to come out of your brain or his brain.
Well, everything, Wes likes to start every single prop with a real piece from history, and then we work it up from there. So it starts off as,
to make it uniquely yours and Wes.
Yeah, uniquely Wes's. You know, it's very much his aesthetic.
All right. Okay, so your average working day, you were there for how long in this small town on the border of Germany and Poland?
Yeah, I went there in the October, and I guess I was there for 6 months. So it was the whole winter. So it was snowy the whole time. We were right on the border of Poland and Germany. You could literally, like, walk over this little footbridge at lunchtime and have lunch in Poland. It was really strange.
And but as I say, a typical day, like, what is it? Wes says something, you go, oh God, look what he wants now.
Yeah, like, a typical day is, like, making 20 different versions of one prop over and over again. And also, our offices were above the actual film set in the same building, so you could hear all the action going on downstairs, which was really fun.
So you'd pop your head out the window and there's Bill Murray going by, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he's in all his movies.
Yeah, I think he's literally been in every single one of them.
Yeah, and that's, in fact, that's not something that's made him what he is today in terms of the past middle-aged actor, which is so cool. He's one of the coolest around.
Yeah.
He really, is sure. He cool on the set too?
Do you know what? He is exactly the same in real life as he is in the interviews, you see. Like, he's just like this really very cool, very droll, tall Ghostbuster.
And was there anybody, any actor you dealt with specifically that you might have designed something for and they wanted help with? I mean, I know that Ralph Fiennes was something about a notebook once, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, sometimes the actors have little very personal props that need specific things. I think Ralph specifically wanted his notebook to be lined because he felt that was in keeping with his character. You know, so that's an example of something the camera is never, ever going to see. But it's important to the actor so that they feel their character is...
Yeah, it's like a crutch or a comfort blanket or whatever. So did designing the props mean that you had to be on the set all the time? Or were you above it, as you say, living in the hotel or whatever it was, and you design it and hand it over and then you're on to the next thing? Or are you watching it as it's being used and change it?
No, you usually work a few days ahead with props, so everything would be ready a few days ahead and then you're on to the next thing.
And you would deal specifically on set with whom? The art director or something?
There's a standby art director on set who you give everything to, and then they look after that stuff on set. So I'd be working up above in the offices, and, like, one thing, I mean, sometimes when you have to work with an actor, it's usually to develop their handwriting, because there's a lot of actors' handwriting in certain documents and stuff.
Wow. Okay, so what's the most unusual prop that was needed for the movie? I mean, is it difficult to make copies of an unusual piece?
Well, some props you have to make a lot of copies of because they get destroyed on set. Like, some are described by the script as having to be destroyed. Like, there's a telegram that had to be ripped up and covered in blood. So you have to make, like, 30 or 40 different copies because Wes does 30 different takes of some shots, you know, to get them right. So that can be tricky, yeah.
And what about things like calligraphy and vintage typewriters? And did it all have to be as authentically Wes'd, Wes'd, Anderson'd as that?
Yeah, I actually got a really lovely 1930s typewriter that the prop master gave me so that I could do all the police documents with the right typing, you know, because if you use a typewriter font, sometimes they can look very fake. And then all the calligraphy was done by...
What do you mean a typewriter? If the typewriter, it's just that's it. What do you mean fake?
Well, you know, there's a lot of typewriter fonts, digital fonts that are supposed to look like typewritten documents.
All right, okay. All right, okay.
But, well, to me, I think they look fake.
Okay, what were you doing like before that? Like, you were studying in UCD, was it?
Yeah, I did my master's in filmmaking at UCD. I don't actually think they do that course anymore. That was a few years ago.
Went off abroad, Iceland.
I was in Iceland for 4 years, yeah.
And what were you doing there?
I was working for an ad agency as a graphic designer, yeah. So that was good. Yeah, I loved Iceland, but Dublin's my home now.
Right, so let's get back to Wes's head here, because this is the one I'm interested in terms of, you have these settings that are imagined out of Wes's head and that, and do you have to make sure that you meticulously realise these settings?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Wes is so heavily involved in the process that, you know, it's very, very much Wes's aesthetic. So you can go through... You can spend weeks on one thing getting it right, you know, and he won't shoot anything till it's absolutely right. I think that's why when you watch the movie, it just feels so designed and perfect.
Yeah, and what was your favourite prop that you had to specifically create for the movie?
This is one of those films that starts with a book, and the book opens up and then the story begins. So I drew the picture of the hotel and made the book that opens the movie, and it also has the name of the movie on the front of it, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
All right, so I presume you're going to tell me now you've kept it, have you?
I did keep a copy.
All right.
It's really nice to have a prop that you made with the name of the movie on it. It's really special. So
sounds like a prop is now a family heirloom. Okay, by the way, he is doing some other stuff, isn't he? He's got some stuff. She's Funny That Way. Is he going to be involved in that movie? Or I'm not sure.
No. I'm not sure.
Oh, he hasn't told you. You're not invited.
Yeah.
Are you going to be working with Wes again?
Well, I've worked a little bit with him since on a short film that he made. I did some work on the titles for that, yeah. So I hope so. He was a really, really great director to work with.
On the titles for that? That would be back to calligraphy specifically, is it?
No, it was the subtitles.
Oh, I see. All right.
He likes them set in a particular typeface.
Okay, others on the set, I mentioned Bill Murray, we mentioned Ralph Fiennes. Did you meet the rest of them?
Yeah, I met a good few of them. Yeah, it was really fun having Saoirse Ronan there because it was just great having a Dublin accent, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, she uses her own accent in the movie as well, which is interesting. All the characters use their own accents.
She's a lovely girl.
Yeah, really.
She really is. Yeah, okay, and what about Jude Law and all the rest? Yeah, were they cool?
Yeah, Jude Law is particularly cool. I think we all liked him because he was just like, he was really down to earth and he was really nice to the trainees, you know. I think that's all it takes sometimes. Right. And he used to wear his pyjamas to breakfast.
Right. These are the things we need to know. exhibition-wise, Annie, what are we talking about here? Where is it, the Annie Atkins exhibition?
Well, it's a collection of some of the graphic props from the movie and it's on at the Lighthouse. I think it's running till the 24th. So you can just have a look at them if you go and see the movie, but also they're just there in the cafe, so even if you're not going to see a movie, you can see them for free.
Okay, and also, by the way, when we mentioned other stuff earlier, you said newspapers and shopping bags, anything with print was a big thing that you had to do, but that would include wills and books and menus even, and as I mentioned earlier, police reports, lots of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of police reports in the film because it's a bit of a crime caper. So one of them we had to get Jeff Goldblum's fingerprints for, which was fun. But actually, when I finished the prop, I thought, God, these fingerprints are huge. Like, it looks so unrealistic. I thought I'd made some kind of mistake, but actually he's got really big hands. So it was
Jeff.
Fine. Yeah.
Does he know? Okay. See, these are things that we need to know so I can amaze and baffle people in the pub later on and say, do you know about Jeff Goldblum and his hands? Or do you know how nice Jude Law is to the trainees? But just on the Wes one, as in Wes Anderson, the director, you have, but does he have, not just an amazing imagination that all imaginary settings need to be meticulously realised and all that, but does he have what I would call a graphic sensibility that you can meet him somewhere halfway?
Absolutely, Wes does, yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, I always think that if he wasn't a filmmaker, he could be a graphic designer. And I think his brother is a graphic designer, actually, so it's there in the family. But yeah, very much. And he's really into graphics as well. Like, he loves graphics. Sometimes I think when we make 30 versions of something, it's because he was having fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Annie, congratulations. Onwards and upwards. This is a door well opened, isn't it, in the Grand Budapest Hotel? And maybe lots more doors will open as well, and hopefully they will. So the Lighthouse Cinema until March the 24th. There are 20 pieces. They're all the pieces that were actually used in the film by the actors. By the actors. And what happens? Do you take them out and put them into a memory room or an heirloom room and keep them yourself?
They're going to go into a box under my bed, locked away.
Right, yeah. Indeed, yeah. And take them out on Patrick's Day in 40 years' time. So the Lighthouse Cinema is also having screenings of the Grand Budapest Hotel as well each day. Listen, thanks a million for dropping in, Annie. Onwards and upwards, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, you're very welcome.